Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking the real reality of the retirement crisis with Jeffrey Small.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
I remember in my early 20s, especially when I first graduated college, the idea of talking about retirement was something that was like, what? You want me to think about what? Like, I haven't even barely started my career. You know, what am I doing thinking about retirement? And I wish that somebody had grabbed me and shaken me and explained the reality of, you know, when you start saving and you start putting money away, even if it's just a really small amount of money, when you're in your early 20s, how powerful that can be when you get towards retirement, or really at any point in life when you just want to make another decision with your life. You know, I think if I would have been able to see a graphic or a picture of what even $25 would have done consistently over, you know, my early 20s until now, I think that might have been captivating enough for me to at least pay attention. But, you know, I mean, we don't talk about these things. Even when we're in our 30s, we're usually so focused on, you know, building our career, and we're focused on having kids and buying a house and, you know, all of these really expensive things that a lot of times the idea of saving or putting the max into your 401k at work is just something that feels like an utter chore. You know, it's like, well, I'll just think about it later because I'm going to have plenty of time later to figure this all out. And I think, you know, what I've seen is that the problem is that we get into that thinking of later, 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 later. And I've been guilty of it myself. And then we get to a point where like later is almost too late. And then you run into options that aren't so pleasant. I mean, if you look at the statistics of, you know, the real big market decline in 2008 and 2009, and where, you know, so many people lost 30, 40, 50% of their retirement savings, you know, if you were getting ready to retire, yeah, that was a really crappy day for you, a couple of days, a year, you know, it was a really bad time because, you know, if you can imagine having half of what you had saved just wiped away and not really having a whole lot of other options, that's a really scary place to be because, you know, for a lot of people, they don't know where to go from there, you know, and then you get in this place of panic of fear around money and you can't even think straight, you know. I mean, even if you were in your 20s or 30s and you lost half of your portfolio, I mean, that's enough to like make you open your eyes and go, wait a minute. But the thing is that people like Warren Buffett, I mean, he's just a name I'll throw out there. So many other people, you name a lot of the big CEOs of companies, you know, any of these people who really have figured out making wealth, growing wealth, you know, if you want to use that word. I know that's not necessarily like a great word. A lot of people don't like the word wealth, but you get at least the image, right? You know, growing wealth, it takes a consistent investment in something, and usually lots of things over a period of time. And there are going to be ups and downs and backwards and forwards. You know, just recently, this week, this past week, the stock market has, you know, kind of lost a lot of its luster. You know, and for those of you listening to this podcast that are worried about that, I want to bring you a couple quotes. I talked to Greg McBride, who is a CFA at bankrate.com. And, you know, I wanted to find out from him, how should you be thinking about the stock market drop? You know, should you be freaking out? And he had some really good words of wisdom. You know, he said that the market drop, while understandably is fairly unsettling to investors, it just takes us back about 2 months. You know, the S&P 500 last closed lower than this on December 7th. Market corrections are normal no matter how nerve-wracking they are at the time. And just really to hang in there and maintain this long-term perspective and you know, resist that urge that you have for any knee-jerk reactions. And really, he said, you know, look at the big picture. If he could tell you anything, it was really to focus on the things that are good. You know, the economy is improving, more people are working, they're seeing more money in their paychecks. Tax reform hopefully will boost the bottom line of businesses and households. You know, if the market is failing, that just means that things are on sale now. And I think, you know, it's tough, especially when you're a new investor in the stock market, to think about that theory, really, that, you know, when stocks go lower, like this might actually be a good time to buy more. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive. But if you really read, you know, books from some of the great investors, they're going to echo this statement over and over and over again. And the brilliance is, you know, if you've started to save, even if it's just a tiny, tiny amount of money early on, you're not immune to the decline. The decline's still going to affect you, but you have such a long time horizon that, you know, even in a couple years, you're not even going to, I mean, it's just going to be a minor blip in the overall growth of your portfolio. So I think, you know, our brains tend to focus on just the negative. All we see is just the negative. And that's not just with our money. I mean, that's with everything, right? Relationships, our job, our career, our life. You know, we tend to like blow up everything that is not so great and skip over those things that are actually good. You know, if you were invested even at the beginning of last year, you've had a lot of gain over, you know, 2017. So, you know, you're still way up, even with the market decline. And, you know, things are very cyclical. The market's very cyclical. So I was really excited to have today's guest on the podcast. He is a seasoned financial expert, Jeffrey is, and he just wrote this new book, Turning Financial Planning Right Side Up. And, you know, he's been in the industry quite a while, and he's got really good chunks of information in this book. I so enjoyed reading this book. If you're really interested in not just financial planning, but investing and kind of how to have the right mindset around it, reading is one of the best things you can do. You know, sometimes you just pick up a little gem here or there, but this is definitely a great book for that. And, you know, he said that we're really in a time where we need good financial information and excellent financial advice. And I couldn't agree more. He said, you know, we're not getting it. And that's really a huge problem. You know, life expectancy is longer. People are living longer. Medical costs are going up. There's no arguing about that. Social Security is tenuous. You don't have to worry about Social Security yet, but you know, it might not be existent when you need it. And of course, the markets are rocky. And you know, he says that this information that enters our homes, whether it's in the mail, the TV, the internet, it's just dubious at best. So he really wrote this book so opportunities won't be lost behind everything else you're bombarded with concerning your finances. And so you can put your interest first. And he's really hoping that it's going to clear up, you know, a lot of misconceptions, stop the leaks, and provide a clear view and a best path for viable options. And I think especially when you're a younger investor, it's really good to hear lots of different opinions, lots of different thoughts about investing, and then allow yourself to come up with something that works for you. But I think just putting the earmuffs on and going, you know, I don't need to think about retirement now, or, you know, I don't trust the stock market, or, you know, I saw what happened in 2008, 2009, and I'm just never going to be party to that. I think putting those blinders and those earmuffs on, it's not going to really help you move forward towards the financial goals that you want to achieve. It might keep you really safe and really secure. And hey, I'm like you. Like, I like to be safe and secure. I still have a blanket, for God's sakes, that I love, that, you know, I sleep with every single night. So I'm right there with you. I love being safe and secure, but it's not moving you forward. And I think that's the thing that, you know, whether it's just tiny steps, those are the things to think about, is how can you move yourself forward? And even if investing scares the crap out of you, reading books like this and hearing these different thoughts and ideas about the market, just allow them to sink in a little bit and see if you maybe can't find, you know, a comfy place. So I'm so excited to talk with Jeffrey about, you know, all these cool nuggets that are hidden inside his book.
Life does not happen biweekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie. Or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin, money, under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rina Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeffrey, I am so excited to have you on the podcast and share all of your financial wisdom. You have a number one new release book in retirement planning called Turning Financial Planning Right Side Up. And, you know, there have been so many ups and downs in the market lately, particularly this week. Why do you think, though, talking about and thinking about retirement is so important for millennials, even if right now it's the last thing they're thinking about?
Well, millennials have probably the toughest gap to make up in retirement because there's been a short squeeze in job opportunities combined with having to pay for your own college. But additionally, millennials have a trust factor. They don't really want to trust advisors. They'd rather do things themselves. And this is where they can get hurt the most. So millennials really need to work with advisors or find an advisor that they can trust, guide them through the maze of investing because there's no college course on financial literacy, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about that trust factor. I mean, that's something that I certainly hear from a lot of listeners is, you know, seeing what happened in, you know, 2008, 2009, and maybe seeing what happened to their parents or their relatives and feeling really uncertain about what is the right way to start investing in the market. What advice would you give to somebody who is, you know, mid-20s, just kind of starting out and trying to figure out where do they start? How do they make sense of this?
Well, you know, it's not rocket science. The first thing they have to do is become disciplined, and they really have to learn how to save more than they spend. That's the most important thing. They should be saving at least 20 to 25% of what they earn if they can afford to do that. And if they can do that, they're going to be way ahead of the game. The second thing is, what do we put the money into? And that's where they need to find an advisor, because if you don't get educated correctly, lack of education leads to trust, mistrust, which leads to mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that a ton in your own career. So you have been in the financial industry for quite a while now. Tell us a little bit about your own journey, your own money journey, and why, you know, talking about finance is something that you're super passionate about.
Well, I was a market historian when I was in high school. I started studying the stock markets, And I was really, you know, quite infatuated with the markets and finance. And understanding how markets work is a whole different dynamic. But the market runs in long-term cycles, I discovered. And those cycles last 14 to 20 years, either in an upwards fashion, and we call that a long-term secular bull, or a downwards fashion, a long-term secular bear. And so in order to modernize your money, if you're a millennial, you have to understand what cycle of the market we're in. That's the most important thing. And right now we're at a top, you know, and that's why the market's been having a hard time the last couple of days, and we took a 4% hit today off the market.
Right. It's just cyclical, right? I mean, it's not a whole lot more than that. And yet, you know, there's so much emotion that goes into investing. How can you, especially if you're a young investor, you know, kind of rationalize that?
Well, you really can't, because if you're a young investor, you have no idea how to get in and how to get out. And so, you know, the stock market is not really rocket science either. There's a supply of people that want to sell a stock and a supply of people that want to buy a stock, and it's an auction market. And we have an overabundance of either one. On the buy side of the equation, it pushes prices up. On the sell side of the equation, like today, we have more sellers than buyers, prices fall. And so the guessing game is, how do we know when to get in? Well, of course, when there's more sellers. According to Warren Buffett, he has this saying, I don't buy stocks unless there's blood on the streets, so to speak. And so that's what we want to buy, was when the market's down as opposed to when the market's high. But the market is still relatively high right now. But we have a very interesting dynamic economically. We have an expanding economy and a rising interest rate environment with double-digit earnings growth on the major market companies. And so we have a very different dynamic now. The complexion of the market is getting ready to change significantly so, hence since the correction started last week.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of different factors that are playing into that. And I think, you know, especially if you're a new investor, it's hard to figure that all out. And there's a lot of voices out there, you know, spouting information. And, you know, in particular, I know there's a certain trend with Bitcoin investing with the younger generation. And that has certainly taken a very interesting dynamic in the last couple of days, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, Bitcoin has literally been crashing ever since its peak at 18,000. It's down by over 100, you know, 50% since then, more than 50%, 60%. So I think to all the Bitcoin fans out there, I think that you got to be really careful. Once the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, the governing body that oversees all investments and securities, once they start actually officially regulating Bitcoin and the Bitcoin equation, that's when we know it will have traction and it will be around. But until that happens and the major market brokers and wirehouses allow you to trade Bitcoin, it's not going to really ever be a real player, even though blockchain technology makes sense. So they may want to invest in some blockchain technology companies for the long term.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's such great information. So if you're a new investor, and even if you're a more maybe seasoned millennial investor, but you don't really know what you're looking at when you're looking at a stock or you're picking funds, is there any cheat sheet information you can give us about, you know, different things we can look at so that we can figure out whether something might be a good investment for us?
What folks want to focus in on, no matter what their age, millennials, Gen Xers, or baby boomers, what they want to focus in on are the perennials inside of each particular space. Now, let's look at those. The Facebooks, the Amazons, the Netflix, the Googles, the Apples, those types of components will always be around their leaders. And then there's growth sectors and technology that will be really hot too as well. So, you know, if you know of a company that you think's going to explode and it's just in its infancy or it's in midstream right now, those are the things that you want to hold for the long term. But what you want to do as a millennial is buy and hold for the long term. Do not get out of the market because you've taken a loss. Don't sell. You don't need to. You've got the luxury of time before you retire, especially in your IRAs or 401ks. But I would strongly encourage millennials to also not just start those types of plans, but also Roth IRAs as well.
Right, exactly, because there are a lot of advantages in having a Roth, if you can income qualify for a Roth.
Well, there's no doubt about that. IRAs, Roth IRAs will allow you to grow without tax and then pull the money out income tax-free once you hit your golden age of retirement. And that's kind of the goal, is to create as much tax-free income as possible, because we know that taxes will be going up in the future.
Right. That's one thing we can be absolutely certain about. So tell us a little bit about your book, kind of how the concept came about, and maybe if you have, you know, a favorite chapter or an idea that really stand out for you in the book.
Well, sure. The whole book's premise was to teach people how to beat the inside game of Wall Street investing and avoid the media bias. Because we know if we hear something on TV and we invest in that, we usually end up losing, right?
Sure.
That's normally the way it works. And so there's a whole dynamic of inside information in the book that you're not going to get in the media. But my favorite chapter is why reasons not to be in the market, and some of the things that we describe in there, the fact that 40% of all stock market activity is corporate stock buybacks. You know, the big corporations like Apple and GM and IBM and Disney and Home Depot are buying back tens of billions of dollars of their stock on an annualized basis. This tenderizes and peppers the market to rise further by taking stock off the shelf and creating the false illusion of a better metric and its financials by doing that. And also less stock on the shelf, it means there's going to be more demand, right, for that share price to rise. And so that's a problem. So that's a good chapter. But my favorite chapter is something called the Goldilocks zone, and that is where to invest for the next 10 to 15 years and how to net 5%. Because whenever we've hit a perfect stock peak, like we're at right now, 8 or 9 years of straight pure stock market growth and never really a significant correction, we always go into a long 10 or 15 year period where the growth is absolutely anemic. There is no growth in the market, maybe 4 or 5% a year. And so what you want to try and do is get that book, read the Goldilocks zone, and figure out what's best for you so you can net 5% without being market centric.
Yeah, I love that. Those are such great chapter titles as well. I mean, they're definitely, you know, bringing a little intrigue to reading about money for sure. So,
well, yeah, that's why we call it the Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I love that. So from your own personal money story, maybe share with us, a money lesson or two that you've learned along the way that have really transformed your thinking or your feeling about personal finance.
Well, I'll tell your audience I'm 51. I don't tell many people that, but I started in the business when I was 19. And so I've got a long history there, and I've watched many market cycles and people lose fortunes and make fortunes. And I'll be honest with you, the biggest mistake that I think people can make in the millennial space is to not start saving now. In the 30s, we spend more money on our kids than we ever will. In our 40s, we spend more money on our furniture. In our 50s, we spend more money on retirement and paying down debt and savings. And so we got to do it backwards. We really need to start saving as much as possible, because the time value of money says that if you start saving earlier, you're going to have 6 to 7 times more in retirement than you would if you started later. And you know what those numbers are, Shannon. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
So that's why we can't put an emphasis enough on starting to save as early as possible and as much as possible.
Yeah, and saving even in, lots of different places. Is that not correct? You know, sometimes we think savings like, oh, they must just be talking about, a savings account or maybe just my 401k, but really thinking about savings as kind of a multi-tier approach, correct?
Well, sure. I mean, obviously the stock market is one place you can save. Putting money in a money market or a CD or a short-term account is another place you can save. But the savings, the amount of places you can save today is unbelievable between banks and brokerages and the number of investments that are out there. So you just want to start saving as much as possible and be diversified based on what your needs are long-term and how much money you may need for liquidity.
Yeah. And what do you think, what do you think it's going to look like in the future? Because obviously we have this younger generation that, we talked about this trust element. We talked about, they tend to be a little bit more conservative when it comes to investing. And, visually, maybe even just ponder with me, what will it look like when especially the younger 20-year-olds, get to that retirement age? And, everything's more expensive, healthcare is more expensive, and there just isn't that type of growth in retirement that you need over a long period of time. What does that look like as a society, as a generation?
Well, I'm really afraid because we have exploding deficits globally and we live in this debt-dependent world where we can't function without debt. And the government debt across the globe is spiraling. We've literally taken debt from $52 trillion global and public-private back in 2007 to over $115 trillion in the same scenario over the same span. And that's really what's inflated these asset prices back up in real estate and the stock market, is they basically used the same playbook they did in the 2000s where they flooded the equity markets and they flooded the mortgage markets and the real estate markets with debt. We pretty much have done the same thing all over again. And so at some point, that debt cycle is going to pop, similar to how it popped in 2008 and 2009. And then what do they do? How do they create additional jobs? Because between attrition, people leaving the workforce, the need for new people coming out of college to have jobs, technology and the exportation of jobs, we really have a big sucking sound of jobs that are leaving on a permanent basis. And so that's going to be a tough time. So, I mean, in the interim, we got to make the best of it. But with spiraling deficits, it's anybody's guess, Shannon.
Yeah, that's such great information. And I would imagine that the listeners will get a lot of great insights reading your book. So tell the listeners where they can find you, where they can find the book, and all those good details.
Well, the book has a great website. It's financialplanningrightsideup.com. There's a couple of links to Amazon on there and a few pages that you can read and some other media appearances that I've done on CNBC and a few other stations that are on the major networks that you can watch regarding my appearances. So financialplanningrightsideup.com is the best place to either access Amazon or review the book yourself.
So my thinking is, I mean, call me crazy, but my thinking really is, you know, if like Jeffrey says, we're going to have these market fluctuations from time to time, it's just part of history. It's just the way the markets flow, that we also need to be able to not freak out when this stuff happens and also have a perspective that as long as we're saving, as long as we're putting money away, we are doing good for our future. We are providing ourselves with opportunities down the line. And, you know, the rest is going to sort itself out. But at least we're taking the measures that we need to be smart with our finances. So, you know, it's not going to make the days where the market dips down 1,000 points better. It's not going to make it easier for you to stomach it. But on those days, just don't look at your 401k balance, you know? That's the best way to not freak out, is just don't look at the balance. Just keep putting money in. Just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, your future self is going to thank you so many times over. I can't even begin to express it enough on this podcast. So as always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. And if you love this podcast, do me a favor, share it with your friends, shout it out on social media, and head on over to the link in the show notes to leave us a 5-star review.
Everyone knows that putting money aside in savings is really important. But then what? Should you keep your savings locked in a CD for a higher rate or keep them liquid in a money market? Can your checking account help you save too? Or is it about creating the right combination? We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about the savings options that are right for you. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com. Member FDIC.